Is the economic tank down to just fumes? I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. 709,000 people signed up for unemployment benefits in the last week after fresh layoffs. That's disturbingly high in pre-pandemic terms, but slightly lower than the week before, which was a bit lower than the week before that. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. She's looking at a grim road ahead.
We've already seen a major slowdown in credit card and debit card usage. It's actually showing a decline in consumer spending as we go into November, and reservations at things like OpenTable have fallen. That's been a good indicator on people eating out and willingness to eat out. It's much harder to do indoors than outdoors. And we've even seen, job postings slow. The good news is they're still being posted, but pace of job creation really matters when you're still more than 11 million people unemployed.
And they're talking about a lot in Washington, but not about stimulus anytime soon.
That's the real issue, is we've got people literally running on fumes. They've run out of money to pay for food for the course of a week, and a fiscal cliff is lurking at the end of December when what little benefits they have run out and the moratoriums on evictions run out. And that's really important because that's going to create even deeper scars and deeper wounds that will scar the economy and risk doing so for years to come.
Economist Diane Swonk in Chicago. With the holidays coming and the pandemic raging, retailers are worried about whether customers will be willing to shop in stores. So they're trying to one-up each other with health and safety measures to try to make people more comfortable. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
If you look at the websites of major retailers right now, you'll find long lists of their COVID safety precautions. Some you might be familiar with: plexiglass shields, mask requirements, limits on the number of customers allowed in the store at one time. And stores are trying some new things, too. Lauren Biedelsbacher teaches marketing at Babson College.
A lot of retailers are offering reservations in certain areas where people can come in, meet with a specific shopper, kind of get all of their shopping done at once. Or like at Target, for example, they can reserve a spot in line.
Target is also setting aside more parking spots for curbside pickup and allowing customers to scan their own items touch-free and then pay with their phones. Meanwhile, Walmart is touting its own touch-free payment app, and Best Buy has an option where you can buy online and pick up at a store in an hour. This is starting to feel a bit like a safety competition, because it is.
I mean, I definitely think it's a competitive advantage now. No retailer is going to survive if they are seen as a super spreader.
A lot of their potential customers are still worried about getting the virus, so each of these retailers is trying to position its stores as the safest option.
Just like a few years ago, retailers had to convince customers that they were protecting their data. Now they have to convince customers that they're protecting their health.
Otherwise, those people might just shop online, probably at Amazon. Craig Rowley at Korn Ferry says these changes will cut into retailers' profits.
It's costing them in just the materials, putting up the plexiglass dividers, putting the signage up, setting the store up with displays so it's easy to get around and not be crowded. It's also increased in that you need to increase the salespeople in the store.
But as long as the virus is around, these are costs retailers will just have to accept. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Oil prices rallied this week on the assumption that if the pandemic recedes, the world economy will improve and burn more fossil fuel. Crude oil is at $41.78 a barrel in New York at the moment, despite the International Energy Agency sprinkling cold water on hope of a rapidly recovering oil sector. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Right, the Paris-based agency says in its monthly report that it's too soon to know when vaccines will allow normal life to resume. And for now, they don't see a significant boost in oil demand in the first half of next year. And the question is now, with resurgent coronavirus infections and new restrictions in parts of Europe and the U.S., what will that do to oil demand in the short term? The report says the outlook is not good, and it says the problem is compounded by the fact that some oil exporting countries are actually increasing production. OPEC, the group of oil producing countries, also is scheduled to increase production in January. That may not happen now, but still, David, weak demand, more supply, not a good combination for sustained higher oil prices.
The positive vaccine news we got on Monday from Pfizer and BioNTech sent oil prices higher in recent days, but not this morning. Does this report address that optimism?
It acknowledges it, but it says its forecasts don't support it. Here are the numbers, David. For all of this year, the International Energy Agency is forecasting demand to be down 9 million barrels per day in aggregate compared to 2019 levels. And for all of next year, they project 3 million barrels per day drop in demand. So some improvement expected next year, but he won't be back to normal.
Nova, thank you. And are President Trump and his allies misleading small donors when they solicit money to fight the election results? The pitch is about stopping the left from trying to, quote, steal the election, an assertion without evidence. But another issue is that donations of less than $8,000 will not necessarily go to fighting the results, but to a Trump Political Action Committee or the Republican National Committee. That is disclosed in the fine print. Reuters quotes a Republican political strategist saying the grassroots pitch is misleading. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.